case this morning, Diodinko versus the City of Chicago School District 299.
May it please the Court. Your Honors, good morning. My name is Peter Stamatis, and I, along with Stephen Chander, represent Elena Diodinko, a Chicago public school teacher. Ms. Diodinko is present here today in court and sitting on my left. There are two issues before Your Honors today, and they come out of a federal lawsuit that had been filed by Ms. Diodinko and two other plaintiffs against the Chicago public school system when they were represented by separate counsel. Summary judgment was granted, and Ms. Diodinko alone has filed this appeal. Ms. Diodinko has been a certified teacher since 1997. She's been an art teacher. She's been a special education teacher. She taught at Clemente High School for a decade.
Her background in the brief, I just want to make sure I have the answer to this question. I think I do. There's really no evidence in the record to support her claim that she was suspended because of her letter to Mayor Daley.
Well, we believe there is, Your Honor. We believe that no direct evidence, Your Honor, that's true. However, there is circumstantial evidence. And under the Kidwell case, when a suspension or discipline comes on the heel, Your Honor, of First Amendment speech that can be determined or discerned to be an apposite to the interests of the district, that can be circumstantial evidence of First Amendment retaliation, which is precluded, of course, by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. The one thing we wanted to make clear was the timing aspect that we tried to set out in our brief.
But you did, but I mean, there's no showing that it ever got to the attention of the mayor or anything like that. I see what the timing is, but there's really not much, well, really not anything that connects it.
In the record, there was evidence in the record, Your Honor, that indeed the mayor received the complaint and then forwarded it on for investigation. As for the timing, Your Honor, the notification went to Ms. Foligno, who was the principal of the school, in around the first week of December.
Well, now, wait a minute. About that, where does that evidence come from?
In the record, and particularly from the deposition testimony of Ms. Diodinko.
Okay. But was that pointed out to the district court in the summary judgment briefing?
Well, not explicitly. And that's
implicitly. It wasn't disclosed. The judge doesn't have to go flipping through every deposition to try to find some fact. It's to be pointed out in the briefing, isn't it?
Agreed, Your Honor.
Or the Rule 56.1.
In the statement.
And it wasn't there.
That's correct, Your Honor. And the court asked for some guidance in that regard. However, we were able to go back and look at the record, and Ms. Diodinko's deposition was made part of the record. And in her deposition, it sets forth clearly a timeline that shows that on the heels, at least with regard to a school district's conduct, on the heels of her complaints outside the district, and that's what the focus is of our appeal, and we think the ruling of the trial court, is that with regard to her complaints outside the district, the retaliatory conduct came on the heels of her statements outside the district. Number one, the principal learned of those statements. Shortly thereafter, there was winter break. We cover that. And then on December 4th, they returned to have a hearing for Ms. Diodinko. And at that hearing, there's a 10-day suspension, ultimately, that's resolved, and it comes out of that hearing. And it was that suspension, the 10-day suspension that we contend, that there's sufficient evidence in the record to allow a jury to conclude, was caused by all this noise that Ms. Diodinko was making and complaining about the treatment of IEP students at the school.
Well, contemporaneous with that noise, there was other noise, wasn't there, calling the superiors Nazis and storming out of meetings, things of that nature, refusing to participate in IEP meetings and such?
There's facts in the record, Your Honor, that disputes each of those claims that were made. And I can take them, if Your Honor would like one by one very quickly. With regard to the claim that Ms. Diodenko refused to state an evaluation without a union rep, the facts of that matter were that she was called to an IEP, individual education plan, regarding a particular student, that she told them, this is not my student. I shouldn't be at this IEP. This is an improper procedure. The mother of the child isn't here. And this is what Ms. Diodenko's complaints had been around. Revolved around, and that was improper the conducting of IEP meetings that went against the way that they were supposed to go according to state law. She indicated that. She didn't participate in the meeting. There was another allegation that she screamed at a meeting, if you're here, I'm leaving. She explicitly denied that ever happened. There was another incident where she indicated that she felt threatened or she felt like she was in a concentration camp at the school. That perhaps could be hyperbolic, most certainly. However, at the same time, she's merely describing in her own words how she felt and what her situation was. And certainly, she ought to be permitted to at least express herself, albeit the words she may have used may have been regrettable, but certainly she got the point across. Anybody who heard that would have understood how she felt. One other issue we wanted to address was the retaliation issue. That's our second prong, and that's the whistleblower claim. And very briefly, Your Honors, 740 ILCS, the Whistleblower Action and the Whistleblower Act in Illinois, specifically Section 20, provides that an employer may not retaliate against an employee for refusing to participate in an activity that would result in a violation of state law. Ms. Diodenko alleged in her complaint, and there was evidence in the record, that her refusal to participate in an IEP that was against the mandates of state law, specifically, and we've set that forth in our brief, Section 23 of the Illinois Administrative Code, 226.10E2, and that as a result of her not participating in an improper IEP that she was retaliated against in violation of the Whistleblower Act. And when she was again at that meeting, she indicated, I'm not the student's provider, the mother's not here, I don't teach a student, I don't have any input of the student, and these are all prerequisites.
Is that the way it was presented in the district court about that meeting?
Once again, that was in her deposition testimony. But with regard to its presentation to the district court, there was it wasn't quite fleshed out that clearly, Your Honor. I see my time is up, and again, we ask that Your Honors, with regards to counts one, the retaliation claim and the Whistleblower Act, reverse the entry of summary judgment as to Ms. Diodenko and remand the case for further proceedings to the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Lahr?
Judges, counsel, Judge Grady gave Ms. Diodenko, two chances to make her case on First Amendment retaliation. And now she's coming to this court to ask for the third and fourth chance, and that request should be rejected. There were three bases for Judge Grady's decision. The first was that she didn't cite any protected speech in response to summary judgment. He scoured the record to find the speech, the letter to Mayor Daley. The second reason was she didn't establish when Principal Foligno learned about that letter. And so in her opening brief, she raises a completely different letter. She talks about a complaint that she made to the Inspector General. That's not appropriate. You can't change from the district court to the appellate court what you're alleging.
As I understand the timing, this three-day suspension she got in October of 2009, that had nothing to do with the...
Exactly. I guess she's talking about the second suspension, which happened in January, but that also, the district court found that there were significant intervening events between that. He's addressed a couple of those significant intervening events, but I want to point out three that he hasn't addressed, and they're very significant intervening events. One was that on December 1st, Principal Foligno learned that the local school council chair, had received a copy of an email with very confidential student information about a student, about how he didn't have electricity for 6 months, what his mother did with her public aid check. This is very confidential student information that shouldn't be sent outside the school. She doesn't address that. The second is that a lot of teachers complained to Principal Foligno about the incessant emailings by Ms. Diadinko. And actually, Ms. Diadinko admitted that she talked to her department chair and said, "Do you really feel like I'm harassing you?" And the department chair said, "Yes, I do." Diadinko admitted that. The third intervening event was that Ms. Diadinko admitted that she called AP Neiman a liar. She admitted she referred to her as Your Highness in front of two special education students. Those are the significant intervening events that show that the district court properly found that her letter to the mayor can't immunize her from those kinds of acts of misconduct. Briefly, in the second, the whistleblower claim, she didn't make a claim in the district court. She did a one paragraph. She did no evidence. She cited no cases. Then she comes to this court and asks for a second chance, right? Now she wants to cite the evidence that on December 14th she was asked to come to a meeting and told that she had to sign an IEP. But the record doesn't support that. If she admitted that she was summoned to the principal's office, the secretary asked her to go to a different room. When she arrived there, she said, "This isn't my student." When AP Neiman arrived, she said, "Fine, you can leave the meeting." So the evidence just doesn't support these arguments. So I ask for you to affirm the decision of the district court.
How much time?
Thank you. Briefly, Your Honor, again, Ms. Diadinko has been a teacher at the Chicago Public School System for many years and an exemplary teacher and a Golden Apple Award winner. And she remains a teacher at Schurz High School today. And we're talking about a year where there were individuals, particularly Ms. Foligno, the principal of the school, 2009, when there were issues with regard to Ms. Diadinko. There have never been any issues before. There have never been any issues since. And it's our view that had Ms. Diadinko never said anything, had she not spoken up for the children at IEPs whose IEPs were being conducted improperly, had she merely stayed under the radar and gone with the flow during the 2009 school year, she wouldn't have had any issues, she wouldn't have had any cautionary notices, she wouldn't have had any suspensions, and we wouldn't be here today. And that the sole reason we're here today is because she did speak up, and she did identify, and she spoke inside the district, and she spoke outside of the district. And that's, in our view, the type of conduct that should be celebrated, not punished by the Chicago school system. So we ask Your Honor for reversal as set out earlier. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. And we move to